Log Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Pinckney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. We had a tremendous week this week. We put in enough signatures to recall the mayor here. The Barron County Sheriff Department, the clerk, the county clerk, they did everything within their power to stop us. But we had more than enough to recall the mayor. In other words, we spanked that butt. We put it on them like they never had it before. We're not through with dealing with them. We're going to have a mayor of our choice. Those of you who are out there, anytime you have a politician, don't make a difference whether he's black or white. If he's not doing the right thing, recall him. So we're in the process of recalling the mayor. He's no longer the mayor, but he will have to run for his seat. He's someone that nobody should ever, ever, ever select a mayor of this capacity. He's a black man who is not a black man, who don't like black people. So we did what we had to do. We went out and recalled him. He had a press conference, and just so happens I was there. He was crying like a baby. He blamed me for his recall. But remember this, I'm only one person. It takes many, many people to go out and work and get this thing done. So those of you out there who want to sit home and do nothing, you have to have some kind of action. You have to get out here and do this thing. We had the murder of Mr. Davis in Florida. Once again, it's open season to kill black folks. That's because black people don't do anything. We sit around here and talk. We're the talkingest people there is in the world. Yet and still, they're killing us every day. Four bodies here in the city of Benton. Five bodies here in the city of Benton Harbor. Five murdered black individuals. All no foul play. So it's open season on black folks. You better get your head together and get out here and fight. Those of you who say it has never happened to you, I know we got a lot of these naysayers, oh, that won't happen to me because I don't live that type of life. But it could happen to your relatives. It could happen to anybody. Well, these five young men that I'm talking about, they're not related to me, but they are related because I'm willing to take a stand and fight for them. Those of you out there who won't sit on your hands and do nothing and claim it won't happen to you, that's why it's happening. It's happening. It's happening not all over the country. So listen, I'm going to take a stand, whether you do or not. But on that note, let's listen to a little Martin Luther King.
Because Jesus realized something basic, that if a man will lie, he will steal. If a man will steal, he will kill. So instead of just getting bogged down on one thing, Jesus looked at it and said, Nicodemus, you must be born again. In other words, conclude by saying today that we have a task, and let us go out with a divine dissatisfaction. Let us be dissatisfied until America will no longer have a high blood pressure of creeds and an anemia of deeds. Let us be dissatisfied. Through the tragic walls that separate the outer city of wealth and comfort from the inner city of poverty and despair shall be crushed by the battering rams of the forces of justice. Let us be dissatisfied. And let us live on the outskirts of hope, brought into the metropolis of daily security. Let us be dissatisfied. Until slums are cast into the junk heaps of history, and every family will live in a decent sanitary home, let us be dissatisfied. Until the dark yesterdays of segregated schools will be transformed into bright tomorrows of quality integrated education, let us be dissatisfied. Until integration is not seen as a problem, but as an opportunity to participate in the beauty of diversity, let us be dissatisfied. Until men and women, however black they may be, will be judged on the basis of the content of that character, not on the basis of the color of that skin, let us be dissatisfied. Let us be dissatisfied.
Let us continue to be dissatisfied. You are listening to the Pinkney Show, and I am so happy to be here today that I don't even know what to tell you. We're living in the times where they're still burning crosses, they're still hanging nooses, and we're still sitting with our hands tied and saying nothing. But on that note, I'm going to bring on my first guest from Carbondale, Illinois. Pepper Holder, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Pepper.
Yes, sir.
Hello?
Can you hear us?
Yes, I can hear you now. How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing fine. How are you doing, sir?
Great. Excellent. I know that you definitely have something that you want to talk about today, and I read your article that you wrote. It's a tremendous article. And I love it in the People Tribune, which is my favorite newspaper. And I must confess, Pepper, that it's truly an honor and a privilege to have you on the show today.
Well, I'm glad to be on your show. I remember you doing my show.
Absolutely. And that was an honor myself. I'm always happy to contribute anything I can to what's happening in the world today.
Yes, sir. Well, you know, what we're facing here in Carbondale is not only in Carbondale, but this particular plant, Coppers, K-O-P-P-E-R apostrophe S, was the world's leading plant that manufactured railroad ties and telephone poles to be for the trains and for the telephone lines and so forth. In that process, started in 1901, this plant knew of the contamination. It was publicized in 1936, and that it stopped the process in 1991. So the only conversation that's ever been done with the tragedy of this contamination to this community is some a farmer got paid for some cows that died, and that the conservation out-of-court settlement to replenish the fish back into the lead to the Big Muddy River, the leads to the Mississippi River. So what I'm seeking here is the support from people around the country to look to moveon.org, a petition is there, to ask the governor to bring the CDC to this area to see how this plant has affected our health.
You know what? That's interesting because you know, I was reading with it, two cows died, and the EPA they did do an investigation. Is that correct?
Yes, they have. It's somewhat still yet inconclusive in one sense, but at the same time, they admit in the health assessment of the most recent EPA notification to the community that we were contaminated up until 1991. But there was still activity going out there. But the primary problem is a longitudinal ecological health survey will identify that this was the this particular carcinogen contaminated us in our nearby community to the, which adjacent the plant. It's the environmental racism.
So that product that they was talking about, that you talked about in your article, they were soaked with something called, what was that, creosote?
Yeah, creosote.
Creosote, okay. Okay. What is that?
Well, you know how the railroad ties do not rot, the telephone poles do not rot.
Okay, so it's something like a wood treatment or something like that?
Yes. I'm sorry,
okay.
This is Kathy, Reverend Pinckney. I'm
hey, Kathy, how you doing?
I can't help myself. I'm good.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
it's an honor to have you, Kathy. I know you usually come to our march, and I know you're going to come to Occupy the PGA 2014 in May. We're looking forward to having you here. But also, I know you're going to try to come. I'm looking forward to it. But tell me this. Tell me a little bit more about that that product, and just give me a little history of that if you can.
Creosote is in a liquid form, penetrates the wood so that it doesn't rot over the long term. Pardon me. In that, this man worked in such horrendous conditions, where it was touching his skin at the early stages of the plant's operation. To get the creosote out of the man's clothes, they used to bury him in the ground to help for the ground to soak the creosote out of their clothes. So this was into ways of the community, and they have done a lot of work to get it out of the waterway for where, you know, as time and the community progressed, they now have a water system and a sewer system, but back then you had wells and other things, and so it just really went out through the whole community and contaminating a large segment of my community.
Wow.
That it also soaked the men that worked there. They got soaked with it. It went through their clothing into their skin, and it caused skin cancer and cancers of the scrotum, and their families came down with various cancers, just all kinds of cancers. So one of the questions is, can the CDC determine the cause of these cancers? I mean, most likely, of course, it was this creosote because there was so much of it and so many people worked there. But we're asking, or at least the community is asking, that there is some kind of restitution, that they, you know, that they admit it. They'll pay for a couple cows, right, farmers' dead cows, but they're not going to pay for the human beings that suffered the worst consequences.
And that affected both black and white, didn't it?
Yes, it did.
Absolutely. You know, normally when it's just black folks, they, you know, you don't have to worry about them providing anything to heal you or whatever needs to be done. But this also happened to white folks also, which is a perfect example of what we call environmental racism that they've been distributing all over the country.
Right. In that environmental racism, it had a mile and a half radius depending on which way the wind was blowing. Besides the people who worked out there, this smoke, they called it bloom, but the smoke went over a wide area, and the area was contaminated as well. And this is why we need a health assessment of our community to see how we are faring, what our causes of many of our health problems.
Wow. And think about carbon, because that's where the University of Southern Illinois is located, right?
But we have not been able to get any real assistance down here. We need this thing to go nationwide so we put some pressure on the governor and others to come to our aid and identify our problem.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, here's what I can do. I can, you know, we could keep spreading the word and letting people know about this, because who would think about Carbondale, Illinois having such a problem? I was born in Illinois, and I always think of Carbondale being a city. Well, the University of Illinois, that's a Southern Illinois. That's all I, you know, that's what I know about Carbondale. But also know that it's a very racist area.
Yeah, it's a very hard place to get to. We recently had Angela Davis here at the university, and she took off from California at 5:00 in the morning. She was about 8:00 getting to Carbondale in the evening. And she said Carbondale's a hard place to get to.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I know that for a fact. I know. How close are you to Cairo, Illinois?
I'm 60 miles north of Cairo.
Okay, God. Cairo is a place where they used to have the riots and stuff there. I do know about that part of Illinois. I know that Cairo set the pattern. Matter of fact, it's that little bridge that separates Illinois from, I'm going to say Missouri or Kentucky. What area? Tennessee, somewhere along is there?
Yeah, Cairo separates Illinois from the Mississippi River and Ohio meet down in Cairo.
Okay.
So there, you got Kentucky on the Ohio side, and you got Missouri on the Mississippi side.
Okay. Hey, that I do know. But look, you know, tell us something else that you want people to know and how we can help you.
Go to moveon.org and sign a petition there asking the governor.
Yeah, we're asking Governor Quinn to force the CDC or pressure the CDC to conduct this longitudinal study, health study. And I think if you just put in Pepper Holder's name, it'll take you to the petition. Because it's under Pepper Holder.
Okay, is there any way that you can send me an email so I can send it out to people?
Oh, absolutely, yes, I'll do that.
Send me an email. I will send it out to my group and make sure everybody sign it and get you some help down there in Carbondale.
Well, we really appreciate that. I'm wondering where were you from in Illinois?
Well, I was from Chicago. I was born in Chicago. I graduated from John Marshall High School.
Well, we've been wanting to get you down here. So,
oh, I know. I know.
I know. I've been saying it for years now, haven't I? So we're going to get you down here and give you a tour. And,
absolutely. Well, I'm looking forward to it, but also looking forward to you coming to Occupy the PGA in May. We're going to kick this baby off, and I'm expecting Danny Glover to lead this charge for us.
All right.
Yeah, so you know how that goes. But listen, you got about 90 seconds to say whatever you want, and I got to move on, but give us something that you want people to take home with you, and tell us again how we can get in touch with you, and let's take this baby to a whole different level. Let's find a way that we can help you.
Okay. Well, what we want is for a national movement. Really, this is just one case of environmental racism. This is a poor community. We have them all over Southern Illinois. We've got coal communities here that are in trouble. They're starting to frack. We've got them all over the country. Pepper has a little map here with all kinds of little red dots all over. But we're trying to make contact nationally with other communities that are facing the same thing. All the oil spills going on, we know that's happening up in Michigan. Pipelines are putting in that, you know, could possibly break. And we're going to face fracking here in the future. So we're trying to really reach out to communities. Help us and we'll help you. This is a solidarity thing. We need solidarity. We need to stand together and fight for a clean environment, for clean, green jobs, and health care. We need the kind of health care that actually gives us health care and not just pays the insurance companies. So all of these things are entwined, and we're looking for your support. And I will get that email to you with the so you can go sign the petition. And hopefully we'll have a little contingent come up there in May, and we'll march with you, and maybe we can butt heads together and move this thing forward.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, at that time, you know, I would also, you know, save a spot for you and Pepper to speak at the rally, too. I would definitely save a spot for you. We don't know how many people are going to come, but I imagine, at least 400 or 500 people will show up. So let's see where we at and what we can do, and let's take this baby to a whole different level. Let's show the world what we can do, because, you know, we have to say enough is enough. We have to stop them and fight them on all levels, you see, and the only way we're going to do it, we're going to have to come together. And Kathy and you and Pepper both, hey, I love you both, and whatever I can do to help, don't hesitate to call me, because, you know, if you call me, I will come.
Okay, well, we really appreciate that, and perhaps you can catch our show on WDBX 91.1 Community Radio for Southern Illinois. I think it's WDBX.org. You can pick us up on the web.
So, would you repeat that one more time for everybody?
It's www.wdbx.org. And,
very, very good. That
is
beautiful.
In Carbondale, Illinois.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I tell you, let's keep the fight up. Let's keep moving, and let's show the world what we can do. And keep writing for the People's Tribune, too. I really appreciate that also, because I definitely get the People's Tribune out. I write for the People's Tribune. I do things for the People's Tribune. And I want people to understand how important the People's Tribune really is. Matter of fact, it goes all over the country. So when you write an article for the People's Tribune, everybody gets a chance to read it. So that's a good thing.
Well, we're glad to participate, and I'm glad that you're there working with us, and we will be working with you down here.
All right, then. All right, Pepper. You and Kathy take care, and I will talk to you very, very soon. Don't forget that email for me.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Now it's time for my good friend from New York, the man of the hour, my guy, Ralph Pointer. Are you there? Ralph Pointer, are you there?
Ralph.
Yeah. What?
Ralph Pointer, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Ralph, I thought you was going to sleep on me. I was going to have somebody to come hit you.
No, we've had a heavy schedule here. With the fire in Jeffrey's place where Lynn was staying, and then the furnace went out.
Oh, no, sorry to hear that.
Betty went to the hospital for 6 days. The
computer, no.
No, we've been catching it, you know, like very heavy, but we are very happy with where we are, because when Lynn was in jail, she had no chance. And now
yes.
She's out here, and so we have a chance, so we're fighting. But I'd like to tackle into the environmental destruction of Carbondale, Mississippi, with creosote. It has been known.
Don't say Carbondale, Mississippi, that Carbondale,
Illinois.
But if you want to call it Mississippi, you can.
It may as well have been, because many years ago, 30 years ago, there was an organization that drew a map, and it was called the chemical curtain, because we had terms in those days, the iron curtain and the cotton curtain. And the chemical curtain map was to show where all of these poisons, all of these all of these chemical plants were built right around and within Black and Native American communities. And it was very clear. and only the poorest of the white communities had anything to do with chemicals. And so you could see clearly that it was a plan. And I say those listening to your program who have listened, you know, we've heard about Florida, we've heard about Texas, we heard about, you know, Stand Your Ground as a probable cause for killing of young black youth, and you have shown people what to do. Boycott. We have been listening. You have been boycotting. You have been recalling. You have been engaging people in the struggle for their own lives. And if we can't learn that lesson week after week, I didn't hear anybody say boycott the products nationwide, boycott the corporations that support, you know, like the creosote industry. There's another way of doing that, of making railroad ties last a long time. There are other materials they could use. No one's talking about hiring people again for the green, clean type of construction that would keep people employed in jobs that do not kill them. Now, I am a person who has skin cancer as a result of exposure to chemicals in various industries. We have to work, and the work we get is the work that kills us, and we must stand our ground with every penny that we make, with our energy. We have to start recognizing who our friends and who our enemies are. And one of the sad things that is happening is that we have no idea or interest in learning who our enemies are. I could go on for hours talking about that. Mayor Megan down in New Orleans, and people were voting for a black candidate. And they just had to have a black candidate. And they supported him over a progressive white candidate because they said no matter the candidate, we couldn't have another white candidate and or mayor. When Megan had clearly said what he was going to do, he was going to displace black people in New Orleans. He was going to side with the corporations. And yet it was not a message to our people. When we had a young man running there for the Green Party who said he was going to support the community, and the Green Party didn't support him, nor did the people support him. And I can't say they got what they deserved, but they got what was logical from what they did. The logical result was there. Megan not only followed the corporations, he stuck his finger in the till, and he robbed. It is amazing. People have to look at that story themselves. And we see President Obama, who got a large majority of black votes, and he's been doing it to us ever since. And this is why I say of you, Reverend Pinckney, you tell us what to do. You show us what by doing it. There's by concrete example. And people just have to start standing up to that. And I'm going to add, you know, like another element here. And when Lynn was in prison in Texas, I think I told this story once before, a minister who had been on the air in the Dallas-Fort Worth area for 23 years, after some killings of young black people there in that area by police and quasi-police, he had a program. And he had two gentlemen on who were gun dealers. And they were talking about guns and people coming to his shop and getting gun lessons and gun carrying permits. And we are getting so angry. And I don't want to hear anymore about, you know, nonviolent resistance. I want to hear about doing something about what people have done to us. And nothing teaches people more than pain. We talk about teaching the other communities that have been preying on us, terrorizing us, not to do it. And I don't think you can do it through a prayer book. You can do it by giving them pain in their community just like they bring pain to our community. We have to get out of freedom the same way we got into freedom. And I don't remember any slave or any aspiring slave booking passage on a slave ship on their own. They were defeated in military struggle. They were captured by some tribes and forced into this 300-year slavery in a Christian, so-called Christian nation. Nobody's paying attention to that. And if you can't, if 300 years or something doesn't teach you Christianity or doesn't teach you, then I say 300 years is enough time to work. We must learn to do for ourselves. We must learn that we are the children of God and that we have a humanity. And humanity means self-defense.
Mm. And you know one thing, Ralph, I will say this to the people. There have never, never, never been a change all down through history without a conflict. We sit around here and we listen to the news media tell, surrender your guns. You should be more humble. Don't even talk about revolution and stuff like that. These are the words that should be coming out of everybody's mouth. And I know black people, I know it's open season for black folks, because I know here alone, we don't have five bodies. I mean, not four, five bodies that we know that they had killed, and once again, it's always no foul play. So Ralph, I tell you, if there ever going to be a shooting, I won't be the last one to get shot, let's put it that way. You know, there's going to be some shooting around here. Because I'm not allowing these folks to do and get away with what they're doing, especially to my brothers and sisters here in the city of Benton Harbor. And they know when they come, they better come right with me. Because I am not holding these folks up. I'm not saying turn the other cheek. You'll never see me turn. See, when I grew up, I was a very humble guy. I was just a nice guy, they would say. I was just a good guy. But now they say I'm just a good guy gone bad. That's what they say. That's what the newspapers say about me. But I love it. But Ralph,
yes, I hear you, because nothing encourages violence more than doing nothing about it. We have to get over that, this non-idea of something. If it is done to us, do unto others as they would do unto you. And we know what they have done unto us over the eons of years. We must wake up and do, if we can't boycott, if we can't raise our voice, if we can't do something as simple as voting, recall. You've given the message over and over again, and I say, I take the hard line. If we have been so defeated emotionally, if we have denied our own humanity to the degree that we will allow ourselves to be extinct, then we may have to start looking at the reality that there is no rule that says that black people must exist.
Hmm. That's
be,
a good one, Ralph. And I hope all the black folks that's listening, you see, one thing I will say, that a majority of our listeners are Caucasians. You see, most of the time black folks don't have the time nor the patience to listen to a program. They usually, if they do come on, they'll say what they got to say and get off. They don't have the time to sit down and strategize and do things that need to be done. But I'm here to tell you, there's nothing in this world that could make me sit at home and do nothing when my people are suffering like they are.
Yes,
I cannot do it. Those who want to sit at home and do nothing, that's you.
Yes.
But believe
well,
me,
we
your
must
day
make
is coming.
Some, we
it's
must
just
make,
a matter of time, Ralph.
And you're doing a wonderful job, and Lynn commends you. Like I had said, we are running into problems like you cannot imagine, but we are very happy because we are in a position to do something about it. Lynn is out of jail. We are fighting to get her good health care.
Absolutely. And, you know, and I look at that as a major victory. I look at this recall of our mayor, another major victory, and I look at the boycott of Whirlpool, a multi-billion-dollar company that we almost brought to their knees, which is so important that people know that we can win if we stick together.
Yes, and this is Lynn's message. We stuck together. You were a leader out there. telling people to write to Lynn, and she had mentioned the other night when she was speaking that the wall between her and the people, the captors, the institution, were the letters and the phone calls that people made. People did something. And she says when the day would come when she would get 100 letters or 103 letters, people would be calling into the warden, into the Department of Justice, into the Bureau of Prisons. That created a wall that she was able to survive by the prisons recognizing that people were watching. And so we must do more of the same on behalf of all of our people. And I ask people once again to look at, what is that program, Betty? Looking at Lynn's website into Indiegogo and make a contribution, because she's been out 40-some days and 47 days, and she still has not had a treatment of cancer due to conditions and limitations in the healthcare system. And they say she has to wait to 6 months to get her Medicaid back. But she's asking for an expedited decision on that. And one of the workers said, it's Social Security. Why do you need an expedited decision on it? And she says, because in 6 months I may be dead.
And that was the best answer she could give them. And that's what they don't want to hear. They don't care. See, I'm too afraid to go to the hospital. I think if my wife gets sick and she needs an operation, I think I would have to do the operation on her myself. I wouldn't trust her going to the doctor or to the hospital. I'll just call in a couple of friends and bring the scalpel and everything and just do it myself, because I couldn't trust these hospitals.
I tell you, you have a good reason to be concerned. And we, our daughter who is a doctor, and has made preparations for her, and as Lynn has said clearly, that the situation that she faces is different than the situation I face. She is a white woman. She has raised financial capital, and she's still working on it. And so she has a chance in the medical system, where we as people of color have a totally different hill to climb in terms of our health care and our economic institutions, our educational institutions. She recognizes that. She says a totally different hill to climb. And
wow.
This is why we call her Sister Lynn. She pulls.
Amen. That's tremendous, Rabbi. Listen, I do want to tell you this, that we're getting ourselves ready for Occupy the PGA 2014. In May, and I'm hoping that maybe you can come down for a couple of days, and I'm going to probably go back with you, and I'm thinking about that. But anyway, I want you to think about coming down for that weekend, and we plan on doing our march. We're going to do I'm rallying the troops now to make sure that they be here for that. If they're gonna play golf, we're gonna play golf. That's how I look at it. And we're
okay,
gonna do.
And in planning in your future, also think about coming back to New York again and participating in the Left Forum.
I do plan to be there for the Left Forum. I'm going to go to Maddox and the same week I come there, and I'm going to go to. There's a couple other places I'm going to be and spend a little time with you, Lynn and Betty and them. I'm planning on doing that also.
I'm looking forward to that. Lynn is looking forward to that, where we can sit down and discuss this in detail along with our taking action.
Absolutely, please. Absolutely. Look, Rap, you got about 60 seconds. Say whatever your heart desires. Then I got to bring on Dr. Short. Go right ahead.
I have to again say, thank everyone for their participating in bringing Lynn home, mainly Reverend Pinckney, who spoke out, Larry Pinckney, Glenn Ford, the people out there, Dr. Short. You got to continuously work on the 150 other political prisoners that are left behind. And as Lynn said, the saddest moment she had, they threw her out of prison when she realized she was going. They announced it and then sent her back to pack out with other people to get her out of there. And she says that she had no chance to talk to people she left behind. And she'll be talking to you on this program about women in prison. The whole.
Hey, maybe we can do that next week. Let's talk about that.
Thanks again, Reverend.
And all right, take
everybody.
Care now.
My love and respect and everything beyond my words. Thank you.
And thank you also. Dr. Short, are you there?
Yes, I'm here, and I'm fired up by, you know, the man I love, Brother Ralph Pointer. He literally said what he was saying was what I said on Empress Filet's show last night when I thought about what's happening with this woman, Dr. Alima Palmer, who's on the phone with me, the situation that we're going to bring today. And we must stand up, and we have to protect our women, our black women, our white women, all women. What's happening in the country to women is disgusting. And I'm so tired of all these macho men with so much manhood, and we won't protect our women and our girls and our vulnerable boys. Enough is enough.
Absolutely, Dr. Short. You know, it's time. We know we didn't have enough of it. It's time for everybody to stand up and fight back. And it seems like it's so simple. All people have to do is stand together. It's more of us than them. When are we going to get that through our thick heads? It's more of us than them. We can almost bring them to their knees if we decide that we want to do it. You're always going to have a few sellouts. You're always going to have the NAACP. You're going to have the Urban League. You're going to have Jesse. You're going to have all of them. But let's do this. Let's do what we have to do to help anybody who need help. So talk to
Reverend
me, Dr. Short. What do you have to tell me today?
Okay. I've got – are you with me, Dr. Palmer? Are you on the phone? Hello? If I've lost her, I hope I haven't, but I think I had her. I had Dr. Alima Palmer on the phone with me. And by the way, Dr. Alima Palmer has a daughter, very fine woman, 25 years old, never been in trouble with the law, good school child, was 8 months pregnant back in July, went to the beach with a bunch of friends, everybody black or first-generation Africans here, went up to Ocean City to celebrate the end of the soccer season. And before they could even get to the beach, Reverend Pinckney, one of the lifeguards demanded to, or was looking through their ice chest to see if they had alcohol. Now, who looks to see whether people have beer on the beach? You know
Absolutely.
What I'm saying. And it was one thing. And so two lifeguards, both white males, were playing good cop and bad cop. The good cop grinned at everybody and sent them over to a place. And these folks were playing, and then the bad cop comes. And he begins to tell them that you guys are making too much noise and too much commotion. And they're like, what? Isn't that a beach? Then he begins to use the curse words and the racial epithets and all this. And the people wondering, where's all this coming from? And he comes down and accuses them of being drunk and high, after having the other guy look through to see that they didn't have alcohol. They all had Gatorade and sodas and juice. He threatens them, and they don't believe it. They can't believe this is happening. I mean, we've broken the laws. There's no drugs. There's nothing. We're not fighting. We're just doing what everyone else is doing. And this guy calls the police. And the police come to the beach and begin beating and stomping and handcuffing these young men. One of them was literally put in the beach water, was being kicked and stomped because they were there. One guy was trying to figure out what do they want. They asked for his ID. He's in his swim trunks. Now, how many people had their papers when they're in the water? I mean, come on now. You know, even white supremacists know better than that. So when they were fussing, he asked, well, am I under arrest? And the guy said, no, well, I guess I'll leave. So he began leaving, and they slammed him and arrested him. Dalima, the daughter of Dr. Palmer, is motioned by other people that something's going wrong. She went up to get some chicken nuggets. She's, again, 8 months pregnant, runs and sees the love of her life being beaten and kicked face down and says, this must be a mistake. And a 300-pound officer races towards a woman that weighs 130 pounds and dives on her like he's in the Super Bowl. She is arrested with her other friends and kept while she's going through labor for hours. The only thing they gave her was a granola bar. And finally, after holding her for hours as she's literally about to have the baby in jail, they decide to take her to the hospital and she has to get an emergency C-section. While she fights for her life and the life of her baby for 8 days, mysteriously the police send a letter to the family accusing her of assaulting an officer and all this other stuff. Imagine that. And it goes on and on. They get a good attorney.
And Dr. Short.
Yes, sir.
Was there anybody outraged by this?
Yes, there were people filming it, looking at it. It was quite a mess. When the word went around, the family, wanting to do the right thing, told people, please be calm. We're going to work with with our attorney, and we're going to get justice. And their attorney refused to let her take a plea deal because they said, well, we're going to put you in jail for 30 days, and then we're going to expunge your record. And the lawyer says, wait a minute, you tested them for drugs, they had no criminal records, how can you offer that? Imagine nobody on Wall Street that's destroyed this country's finances has spent a minute in jail. They're going to tell a new mother that if she doesn't go to jail for 30 days, they're going to do more to her to show her that you've been when they say been. And you say, I did it when they say you said, I did it. You know, the hypocrisy of the American court system is that it's put more people in jail than the worst of whatever we were told about Stalin's gulags. We're doing this every day. Worse than the show trials that we were told about that the so-called communists did. This is happening in so-called free America, where most people basically say, yeah, I did it, in order to not receive worse punishment from the judiciary system. Now, that was called totalitarianism when it happened somewhere else. In America, it's called a system where the wheels of justice grind slowly, but they work. That's the kind of bunkum we have to say no to. So this woman and her friends go to court Wednesday last week, and they dropped a few charges, but they found a way to make this woman, pregnant with her baby, guilty of attacking the officer. Mm. And they want her to turn herself in by the 28th of this month so she can go to jail for 3 months. And I say, BS, in Jesus' name.
She should have went to trial. It sounded like to me she took a plea deal.
No, she didn't take a plea deal.
They had a trial?
They're going to appeal. She had a trial, and they found her and her friends guilty of whatever
they
said.
Did they have a videotape of it?
There's a videotape. Look, let me break this down to you because folks aren't getting this. Ocean City is on the Delmarva Peninsula. The Delmarva Peninsula means Virginia, Maryland, and Delaware. The eastern shore on the other side of the Chesapeake is the equivalent of the Mississippi Delta for us here in the greater mid-Atlantic area. There's no more racist area where they still lynch people, where people still live in slave cabins on the eastern shore of Maryland, where they work people, where their hands are destroyed processing chicken and crab for the rich people. It's still essentially a plantocracy. And Ocean City is sort of one of the nicer areas on the eastern shore or on the Delmarva Peninsula, but you got to be careful. If you go to the wrong place at the wrong time, you'll discover that Jim Crow is now on steroids, and he likes to be called James Crow. I have a friend who was nearly killed in an automobile accident by an illegal alien who was drunk. And believe it or not, the court ruled on the side of the person who has a history of almost killing people driving drunk. They released him within a day, and my friend was nearly killed because my friend is black, this guy's white. And that's how it is over there. And remember H. Rapp Brown? Jamil Alameen?
Absolutely.
Pastor? Okay, remember He was in Eastern Shore in Cambridge, Maryland. That's where, I'm forgetting the name of the woman from SNCC, Robinson. I don't know why her name is escaping me. Gloria Richardson. Gloria Richardson and H. Rapp Brown were in Eastern Shore. That place is the Mississippi of this area. And everybody with good sense knows, don't go over there, don't be over there at night. Just hours from Washington, you have apartheid in your face, and everybody pretends it doesn't happen. And every year when there's an election, if you ever look at the area and on the other side, they always vote for the craziest, most racist politicians. In fact, there was one named Ballman from Eastern Shore, Maryland, who would always make the anti-black statements when Reagan was president. They caught him just blocks from where I live molesting a black teenager. That's Eastern Shore. And that's what they're trying to do to Delima Palmer. And we've got to do everything we can to say you do not beat anyone, and in particular, the sacredness of our women, and no more time are they sacred when they're pregnant. We should never allow this, and we can't let this happen.
Dr. Short, I believe in fighting back. I think the only way that we could fight with them is let them know that the world is watching. And I think that's what we did here in Barron County. We let them know that the world was watching. Even with this recall of this mayor, they was going to do everything within their power to steal it. But they met their match with me, you see. And then the kills, always, it's not about you, it's about the Palmers. And once we get that through our thick heads, we can win battles when they don't try to make it about you. See, they're smart enough to understand that most people won't, you know, most people could be sidetracked. But I tell you, I want you to get more information from her, and I want to flood that area with phone calls from around the world. And just like we did here in Barron County, we shook this place up so bad, they don't know which way is up right now.
And
I'm not through with them yet.
We need a boycott, and we need to call for a boycott.
Yeah, whatever product. What product do they have? Their main product down there.
Ocean City is tourism. People shouldn't go.
Okay,
that's
good enough.
We don't want to be on an apartheid beach. We don't like people who abuse pregnant women. We don't like it.
Let's start making plans. We can't do nothing until we make plans and know what we're doing. And and we need to let folks know, because it just hasn't got like this. It's been like this for years.
Oh, yes. It's terrible. In fact, you need to know that over on the Eastern Shore, they used to lynch the black people on the courtyard grounds.
Mm.
That was their thing. That's how they did it. There was a guy named George Armwood, didn't do something, roasted him, hang him in front of the courthouse. Didn't even give him a trial, just make it look good. How does this seem any different to me? Ocean City, we shouldn't spend one dime there.
Yes,
seagulls should put their droppings on the beach there.
Absolutely. Matter of fact, we should find whatever it is. We need to let people know. But listen, you got about 60 seconds to say what you want. I got to move on. I got to bring on Mary. So you go right ahead.
Reverend Pinckney, I want to first of all just say I want this Black History Month, I want to thank Jane Brown, Lynn Stewart, for staying alive. I
Amen.
Love Lynn Stewart. I can't wait to meet her. I thank God for you and for Ralph and for those people who wouldn't turn our backs on that sister. I love you, Lynn. My Valentine is for you and Ralph. God bless both of you.
All right, big guy. We'll talk soon. But look, get that information. Let's make them feel it down there. They got to feel this pressure. They got to feel the same pressure that they feel here in Benton Harbor, St. Joe, and Barron County. Because I'm telling you, we're not quitting until we force them to do the things that need to be done and to definitely for our people. All right, big guy, we'll talk to you soon. Mary, are you there?
I am here, Reverend Pinckney, and I don't know if I sent it to you, but I made the announcement regarding the mass demonstration to protest the Benton Harbor Police Department on March 1st, starting at 11 a.m., and I understand the march is going to start at the Benton Harbor City Hall and march to the courthouse. Our press conference will begin at 10:30 a.m., and this regards Carrington Penny, who must have justice. And not only is it Carrington Penny, but it's all the black young men who have been murdered in Benton Harbor, Michigan, over the last few years. I understand it's a continuous event to find black bodies in your lake up there, and that there's a genocide that seems to be happening in Benton Harbor, Michigan. Now, a number of black groups, churches, and community activists, along with the Black Autonomy Network community organization, that's BANCO, will be protesting the Benton Harbor Police Department to represent the best interest of the community. The issues range from poor police service, destruction of the black family, and the extraordinarily high incarceration rate of black residents in Benton Harbor. The Benton Harbor Police Department is out of touch with the black community, so says Reverend Pinckney, and many, many citizens of Benton Harbor, Michigan concur. And so we're asking that everybody who cares about human rights, and you can be black, brown, red, yellow, green, please meet with Reverend Pinckney on March 1st at 11 a.m. and march from the Benton Harbor City Hall to the courthouse. Now, the press conference starts 30 minutes earlier, and it will start at 10:30 a.m. And so these are the demands. You can't have a successful human rights movement unless you make clear what it is you want to change. We demand justice for Carrington Penny. We demand a complete investigation of the murder of Carrington Penny. We demand an investigation into the deaths of Timothy Bulldog Allen, Toby Williams, Edward Hurst, Dwayne Flowers, Eric McGinnis, and many others. We demand removal of Detective Wes, what is that last name, Reverend?
Smigalski.
Smigalski. From Benton Harbor Police Department, that man needs to be removed. And we also demand that the Benton Harbor Police Department be dissolved because it does not serve the black community. Now, the police department up there is 95% Caucasian, and the community that it serves in Benton Harbor, Michigan, is 95% black. So how does that work out? What it seems to be is a traditional plantation, and it is overt. This is not hidden. This is the 21st century, and we have a bunch of abusive Caucasian police officers who are managing a black community, and they're doing it very badly. As I understand it, when black bodies are pulled out of the river there, even if they have been castrated, that is to say, even when they have had the penises cut off, which happened to Timothy Bulldog Allen, no matter what condition the bodies are in, no matter how they got in the river, it is my understanding that the police department says there is no foul play. Therefore, there is no adequate police investigation. There are no arrests done when it appears that either police or Caucasian citizens did the murders. And so this is happening in the United States of America. It's happening in a city called Benton Harbor, Michigan. And this has been happening for a long time. But it stops here. It's time for it to stop. We no longer want to see this continue. This cannot continue. And so Reverend Edward Pinckney, banker organization, and numerous black churches and other organizations, and you, if you live anywhere in the vicinity or are able to travel there, need to get in your cars, on the plane, and be in Benton Harbor, Michigan on March 1st when there will be a march against the abusive police department in Benton Harbor, Michigan. And I thank you for letting me come on air and talk about this. I was just getting off the air, Reverend Pinckney, with my Human Rights for Prisoners March, where we discussed the fact that we have a new way of doing things in correctional institutions. If they want to force a plea deal, and this is not one place, this is throughout America, it seems. If they want to force a plea deal, they use brutality and indefinite detention. I was just on the phone with Robert Cotton Kirkland, who happens to be a Caucasian man, and he said he was forced into plea bargaining in Boulder, Colorado, in exchange for medical treatment for his leg, which was broken by arresting officers. They kept him 8 days without any medical attention for his leg. He was in excruciating pain and in shock, but still, they did nothing to help him with his leg until he agreed to plea bargain. We also know about Terrell Scott. He's a mentally ill young man who's imprisoned in Pennsylvania. They kept him 4.5 years without trial under very brutal circumstances. He lost his hearing in one ear, his sight in one eye, and he's been stratified by people with HIV/AIDS in his eye. And he finally broke down and signed a plea bargain after 4.5 years being held without trial. And also we know that in Franklin County, North Carolina, we have a young teen. His name is Shannon Nairobi, and he has been under indefinite detention for 16 months to force him to plea deal on false allegations. So whereas Benton Harbor, Michigan, may be one of the worst places for police brutality because, you know, people there are being killed and thrown in the river, and police department continues to say there was no foul play. All over America, we have a terrible problem regarding police brutality, and we must not sit back calmly and wait on it to come to your house, because we know that Robert Cotton Kirkland was a Caucasian man. He's a Caucasian man from Texas. His middle name is not really Cotton. He's called Cotton because he used to have to pick cotton as a child. He's a U.S. veteran, and he was beaten to the point that his leg was broken and the other ankle was sprained, and he was denied medical attention until he signed a plea deal. So these things can happen to anyone, no matter how young or old, no matter whether black or white, and we must come together against oppression by police. My name is Mary Neal. I'm Director of Assistance to the Incarcerated Mentally Ill, and they are right now the most victimized, most discriminated against people in America. That's the mentally ill of any race whatsoever are generally victimized and discriminated against, and they comprise the largest class of people who suffer from police brutality. My brother Larry Neal was secretly arrested and murdered in Shelby County Jail in 2003, and we were defrauded by the Jenny Cochran firm, which pretended to file lawsuit for us when they were actually covering for Shelby County Memphis Jail. So these things are happening all over the country, and I congratulate the Carter family, I think I'm saying it right, the Carey family, for filing suit for their daughters, their sisters, the young mother, who supposedly was the White House gate crasher. A suit has been filed, a federal lawsuit against the United States government, including the CIA, including the police force there, the White House police force. A suit has been filed against them because whereas they have a right to protect the individuals and the property in Washington, D.C., they have no right to execute a young woman whose car has already been stopped. Her child was gotten out of the car, and then it appears that she was executed on the spot. And so a lawsuit has been filed in that case, and we will be following that closely and reporting to you. But I want to congratulate you, Reverend Edward Pinckney, for taking action against brutality by police up there in Benton Harbor, Michigan. And I want to say to our nation's capital leaders, the leaders there in our capital city, Washington, D.C., how can any of us expect the police to correct themselves and act according to the way they should when you have individuals, especially a black young mother who was unarmed, gunned down right there in our nation's capital. Yes, I say she was gunned down. She was executed without trial by police officers in our nation's capital. And so with that kind of activity being congratulated in our nation's capital, is it any wonder why police officers throughout this nation take it as their right to kill black people? And now we not only have police officers murdering black people, but we have the likes of George Zimmerman, who was nothing but a private citizen, who executed Trayvon Martin, and we now have another case in Florida where just a regular citizen, Mr. Dunn, killed a young man because he didn't like his music, and he also was not convicted for killing the young man he killed, but he was convicted for attempted murder for trying to kill the other three young men. Now, if you were convicted of attempted murder for the ones you missed, why couldn't you get convicted for murder for the one you shot in the back?
Absolutely. Listen, that is really tremendous when you think about it. What he did, he's going to jail.
Understand that irrational fear that Mr. Dunn said he felt. He felt
all right, Mary.
Irrational fear. And Mary, I say to you, you will continue to be fearful whenever you go around a group of young black men because, and the reason you're fearful is because you know no justice, no peace. Pay your reparations and get some peace. Thank you very much, Reverend Pinckney.
All right. That was beautiful. You know, when you think about that Don Kitt situation, here he was. He was not convicted of killing a black boy. He was convicted of not killing three guys, attempted to. So they're really mad at him because he didn't kill all four. That's why he got to go to jail. He should have killed all four. If he would have, he'd be out today. That's the way the society works today. Listen, on that note, it's T.I. time. It's time to bring on my T.I.s. And I got to bring in my good friend, my guy, John Brown himself, Ken Rose. Ken Rose, are you there?
Yes, I'm here, Reverend Pinckney. And it sounds like that we got a police force all over the world that's out of control. I guess when they find them in Benton Harbor with their legs and arms cut off and their head cut off, they committed suicide. It reminds me of the bankers now. You've been hearing about the bankers all committing suicide, right?
Right.
One of them shot himself with a nail gun in the head 6 times. I mean, I don't know about committing suicide, but I think I'd find a better way than that.
Absolutely. That made them suffer.
Yeah. I don't think you're going to commit suicide by shooting yourself in the head with the nail gun 6 times. So.
I don't think so either.
But anyway, what I'm going to talk about is what they're doing. The TIs, all these people think they're doing the work of God, or they're coming out of these churches, and a lot of it's involved in these churches. Or they think they're doing something good for the country. You better think it again, because you're going to be the next one on their list. And what they don't realize, our country's been hijacked. Bush and Obama, not only puppets, but they are not elected; they were selected. And it looks like the guy that's the next one lined up with Hillary Clinton. What a piece of scum that is that they plan on putting in there on us. Man, I can't even believe it. Then the people say, well, I'm awake. I know what they're doing. Then what are you doing? They're doing nothing but sitting on the couch watching CNN, MSNBC, and all they're getting is lies, and they think they're awake. I can't believe it. I say to people all the time about what they're, you know, they're spying on your telephone calls, your email, Facebook. They tell me, I don't care, I ain't doing anything wrong. I said, yeah, you're doing something wrong. He said, what am I doing wrong? Well, you're not standing up for humanity. You're not standing up for your own kids and your own grandkids and everybody else's grandkids. That's what you're doing wrong. And then people, I forget, the first one yet, I was talking about the air. What do they think they're doing with the chemtrails in this country? They're spraying us with all kinds of stuff right now on the chemtrails. So they're trying to kill off 80% of us. And then what do the people of America think when our government spends $200 million to build a city in Virginia to practice martial law? What do they think's coming? I mean, what do you got to do, slap them upside the head to make them understand? And they want to say we're nonviolent. That's like I was watching a video the other day. There was two cops out there, and it's about 50 black people. And this goes for white people, too, not just black people. And they watch them beat a woman holding a baby. You know, if I'm in that crowd and there's 50 of us, I'm going to be attacking somebody. If there's just two cops there, we'll take them guns away from them, whatever we have to do. But they say never underestimate the power, underestimate the American people. You know what I say for that? Most of them are cowards, so they haven't underestimated us at all.
And that's why they got us the way we are now. People scared to speak up. People scared to do anything. They don't stand up for each other. I even hear that the police is under so much stress. Oh yeah, right. You see, they get their job is to serve and protect. They don't know nothing about that.
No, look at that homeless guy. They beat him to death in his own video. And then they acquit the two cops, and they didn't do one day in jail. The only good thing about that is I heard that one cop went to a bar the other day or Denny's restaurant, and he was drinking.
Yeah,
and
right.
The whole crowd told him, get him out of there, and they got him out. So,
that was in California, right?
Yeah, so
okay,
California.
I'm going to have them guys on the show next week.
What, the white guys?
No, the guys that they shouted him out of there. I'm gonna have them. They coming on the Fullerton. They gonna come on and talk about the whole case and let us know exactly what happened.
Well, I know what happened. I sat there and watched the video five times to see what.
I'm gonna get it straight from their mouth. That's what I'm gonna do.
All right, okay. You're gonna get the ones that beat him to death to come
no,
on.
No. You know I don't do that, Ken. I'm going to get the ones who's supporting the guy that they beat to death. Not them guys that beat him to death. I wouldn't have them on my show.
Oh, I'd love to tangle with one of them. I'd like to have been in that Denny's when he's in there drinking his beer. I slammed it in his damn face.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
But, you know, we've been making headway. The TIs is the Pete Santelli show. And he said he would rip their throats out. You know what one T.I. told me? Oh, most T.I.s won't listen to him, Kenny, because he's violent. I said, so I won't even say on your show what I told her. I'd like to rip off of them, put down their throat. Then I'd rip their throat out my damn self.
Mm-hmm. And, well, look, what you're doing to the T.I.s is violent. They don't know that?
Yeah, what do they think when they're torturing people and burn them with microwaves and directed energy? What do they think that is? That ain't violence?
Well, you don't tell them TIs, they better get violent. I believe in an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, and an eye for an eye, the whole works.
Well, if you look at what they're doing to us and the American people, a lot, and Reverend Payne, there's a lot of them here that they're worse than the Nazis in Germany. They're going along with it because they think they're doing God's work and we deserve what they're doing to us. I mean, when I had a preacher tell me that these people think, he said, your issue is going to be hard to bring up because most people doing it think you deserve it. But they don't think the technology is being used on them. What's he telling me? They're getting it used on them, but they don't have enough sense to know it. This government is going all the way. It's out of control, way out of control.
Well, that's because the people allow it. The people got to put the government back in control. I mean, the people got to be back in control, not the government. The government ain't going to do nothing but turn you around. So we got to learn how to fight together.
Exactly. I know I'll be in Washington on May the 16th because they're calling for 33 million people. I don't know how many will show up. I doubt they get 33 million, but Ken Rhodes will be there.
Amen. I know you will, Ken. Also, I want you to come to Benton Harbor on May 24th. We're going to have our Occupy the PGA here. So that should be that should bring in a few people themselves. So make plans for May 24th to be here. That's a Saturday.
Not a problem. You let me know a day or two days, you know, a day ahead of time.
I sure will. That's for sure.
Okay, Reverend Penny, you have a great show going on today, and everybody got to stand up and start fighting.
Absolutely, absolutely. But listen, we're gonna you just keep up the great work that you're doing yourself, and I appreciate you. And stay focused. Don't get sidetracked. And let the TIs know that what they're doing to them is violent. That's the most violent thing in the world because it's happening to them. And on that note, I got to bring in my good friend Glory. Glory, are you there?
Yes, Reverend Pinkney, I am here.
Talk to me.
I am here. I have three brief stories about three. I am going to honor, no one said anything about Black History Month. And, you know, it's a short, sweet month, so we have to put in all that we can. This is about the blood bank. The idea of a blood bank was pioneered by Dr. Charles Richard Drew. Dr. Drew was an American medical doctor and surgeon who started the idea of a blood bank and a system for long-term preservation of blood plasma. He found that plasma kept longer than whole blood. His ideas revolutionized the medical profession and saved many, many lives. Dr. Drew set up and operated the blood plasma bank at the Presbyterian Hospital in New York City, New York. Drew's project was the model for the Red Cross system of blood banks, of which he became the first director. Now, my other story is George Washington Carver was an American scientist, educator, humanitarian, and former slave. Carver developed hundreds of products from peanuts, sweet potatoes, pecans, and soybeans. His discoveries greatly improved the agricultural output of the health of Southern farmers. Before this, the only main crop in the South was cotton. The products that Carver invented was rubber, substitutes, adhesives, foodstuffs, dyes, pigments, and many other products. Now, the third gentleman I have, this story came out April 13, 2012, by Diane Bukowski. Reverend Edward Pinkney, president of Benton Harbor, Michigan, chapter of the NAACP, declared victory in Wayne County Circuit Court April 11th as he staved off the state NAACP's plan to hold a midterm election April 14th to oust him and local chapter officers. The courtroom was packed with Pinckney supporters from Benton Harbor to Detroit to Pontiac. After a conference in the chambers with Circuit Court Judge Brian Sullivan, the parties and the $100,000 civil suit against the NAACP agreed to postpone the election at least until after a hearing May 10th at 10:30 a.m. when attorneys will have filed their briefs. Fast forward to 2012. He became a voice for the voiceless. Some people came against him to leave the targeted community alone. It would tarnish his reputation. Being the crusader for justice that he is, he took up the fight for the targeted community. And at this time, Reverend Pinkney, we would like to thank you and let you know how much you are appreciated in our community. And because you let us continue with this platform, Reverend Pinkney, we have opened doors that we're having a marathon with Pete Santelli next Saturday, February 22nd, and it's a 12-hour marathon. This man is in support of getting this information out, and I thank you for being a pioneer and listening to this. You know, you get to the place that after you have a horrific experience with this technology,
because it seems so way out and so bizarre. You kind of just brush it under the rug. Well, I can't talk to anyone about this. But here, you've given us a voice and a platform, and we thank you, and we love you, and we appreciate you so much. And we will find your story in our storybook when it's written. Thank you for listening.
And you know what, Dame Gloria, thank you so much also, because I tell you, remember when I first heard the story about the people being targeted by the government, see, I understood that this government would do anything. They will. People sit around here and don't believe what this government will do. They will do anything, and they'll do it to you because you, everybody is expendable. See, even the president, they're all expendable, and they know that. But I appreciate you, Gloria, and I will continue this fight for my target individuals because I love my target individuals, and we're going to fight together, and we're going to win this battle because I don't believe in losing. So on that note, Gloria, I got to bring in my good friend Dorothy, and you have a beautiful night, and I will talk to you soon.
Thank you.
All right. Gloria, are you there? I mean, Dorothy.
Yes, I am. How are you today?
Great. How you feeling?
I'm okay. I'm here.
Well, yeah. Well, what you say? You're still alive and you're still kicking. That's the most important thing.
There you go. So let's hit it, because I've been doing some research, and it's always important to kind of give some information as to the breadth, depth, and width of who, why, and how people are being targeted. Because one of the things I keep finding is, you know, what is the common denominator between all those who are targeted? And it seems to keep coming up over and over again of those who have stood up against policies, not laws, policies of this country that were harming other human beings. So just kind of going backwards historically, in the 1960s, many people either historically or actually may remember, if they were alive, that we had major uprising in this country of the civil rights. In Mississippi, in the southern states, there were brutalities, but they were probably all over the country, but it appeared that they were focused primarily in the Mississippi, Alabama, southern states. Now, what I've only recently uncovered, and many of you who are much older than I may very well know, is, to my surprise, remember when the three young men were killed in Mississippi? They had gone down for the Freedom Rides. They were two young men. Schwarmer was one of them, and I can't remember the other two gentlemen. One was a young black man and another white young man. Two were from New York. Don't know where the young black man was from, but they went through training before they went down to Mississippi. That training prepared them for what they could be exposed to was in Cleveland, Ohio. All the national training apparently was focused in Cleveland, Ohio. Now, my mom was very morally concerned about this criminal brutality that was happening to good and decent people. And so I got to witness my mother stand up, who is white, in an all-white community, and she would not raise us as racist or abusers or any kind of stuff. And what most people don't know is the headquarters of the KKK moved from the South to Lima, Ohio, in approximately the 1970s. Well, let's move this forward, because these abuses that have gone on to people have been going on. They're at least 50, 60, if not 70 or 80 years in advance of what they plan to do. So what I got to figure out by reverse engineering my own life is that because my mother would not be a white supremacist, because she would not support that kind of brutalization, I was put into this kind of abuse. Now, mind you, it was a very closed and cloaked system. People weren't overtly racist, but it was, I think what I find most shocking is the fact that from what I've looked at, it's like the good guys are actually the bad guys. And you couldn't even figure out which side of the coin they're working on. So we have to remember a term that was coined years ago, and that is tension strategy, liberation strategy. And that is that when the bad guys that are doing the evil, the criminal corruption, they are the ones who are also providing the solutions. They work on both sides against those who are naive, unaware of this, so that they can use them, abuse them, and manipulate them throughout their lives to then be used through these systems. Now, I always like to give you information. I'll be sending this to you, Reverend Pinckney. The term radiation, a lot of the TIs are who've been targeted, there's terms that use the term radiation very loosely. And I want to recommend that everybody goes to YouTube videos or Google information and put in the type bar, put October 3rd, 1995, President Clinton, October 3rd, 1995, President Clinton's human radiation experiments, and watch the entire presentation. It's not that long. Because what it does is it tells you that between 1944 and 1974, now this was presentation, it was 1995, that in President Clinton would talk about the experiments that were done between 1944 and 1974, but actually which have not stopped, which include radiation, chipping, scalar waves, tetra waves, and which you can see on the ICAACT.org. At the very bottom left, it's very important to go down and look at, that's again, ICAACT.org. Jesse Baltrain, go down to the far left, all the way to the bottom, and look at the Barry Trower. Because what they were talking about, according to Clinton in this presentation, was that there were experiments done on hospitals and universities and military bases, and it was done through our environment, by our government, and by physicians without full and total consent. Now, what does full and total consent mean? They described it there, in which they said it wasn't just that you had to know it was going to be done to you, but what was the long-term effects on you? How was it going to impact your life negatively? What was going to happen short-term, long-term, full-term? So it would go on to say that this was not for national security, but to keep our government from being embarrassed, which is the reason why they didn't disclose it. And I think as a targeted individual and any one of us, what would be very helpful is if we can say, we would like the names of all Americans released who have been put on this targeted list, because Clinton would then tell the federal government not to, or the federal agencies, to give him recommendations. Moving forward quickly, another area you all need to look up is a gentleman by the name of A.C. Griffith. That's G-R-I-F-F-I-T-H, A.C. Griffith, YouTube videos. He has one of nine. They're 10-minute each. But what's significant about A.C. Griffith is that he talks about scalar waves, chemtrails, and the things he speaks about, he talks about the history of it, the Tesla energy. He talks about that it was used to create earthquakes. It brought down the space shuttles. It was responsible for Chernobyl, which was a Russian meltdown of a power plant, a nuclear power plant. He was talking in amazing details as to what is going on in this country and how it is affecting us. Another thing that everybody needs to look up is go to, on YouTube video, go to the History Channel and look up Operation Hummingbird. Now, this is going to take you to some information in reference to Nazi Germany. And what it does is it steps you through almost mirror imaging what's happening in this country. I always like to give you homework, so sorry. And here's three movies you may want to watch, and when you watch them in close proximity. If you can, take a day and watch them back to back to back. The first one is They Killed Sister Dorothy. They killed Sister Dorothy, true story, of a nun in Bolivia who was murdered down there for trying to help the peasants. It was amazing that the FBI stated that they have a policy where they can only go overseas and investigate an American killing when that person is interfering in somebody else's policies in their country. The important thing to listen to, and there is some graphic nature to this film, but when you watch it, pay attention to the different ways that the defense to the murderers, the alleged murderers, try to even indicate how the American government has been interfering in their policies internationally. So again, they killed Sister Dorothy. The next one is In the Land of Blood and Honey. In the Land of Blood and Honey. What this video is it's a true story of the conflict overseas. And again, this happens to have come about during the Clinton administration, but how the UN got involved in the last moments to attempt to try to help some people. Again, for a historical perspective of what is happening around the world and begin to put together the pieces, it's amazing. And for anyone who wants to see what could very well be on the next pages of our world, go and watch The Hunger Games. And put it into perspective, because The Hunger Games is actually a takeoff of Kathy O'Brien talking about how Dick Cheney, in her book Transformation of America, how Dick Cheney, who is former Secretary of Defense and then Vice President, that when she was younger in the 80s was hunting her in Wyoming against her will, literally physically hunting her. As if she was a piece of meat and a human being. Now, again, we need to begin looking at what is happening around us, because when telling the truth is allowing people to be brutalized, when standing up and refusing to participate in the brutality of other people means you get to get brutalized, these are actually the tactics of both Stalinist Russia as well as Hitler. And I will tell you that if, and I pray this does not happen, because what did Hitler do? He would actually bring the Senate and the Congress under the same power as the president. That's what Stalin did. He became both the president and the head of their Congress, known as the Politburo. And I'm hoping that if anyone who's listening, if we see in the next couple years where our president becomes the head of our government, the corporate government, as well as the president, but the head of our Senate and Congress, please know that that's following a very deadly position internationally. We all need to see about banding together and sharing this information widely. It's very shocking. It's very difficult to get one's mind wrapped around it. But I've seen it for all too long. So thank you for listening. I greatly appreciate it. And Reverend Pinckney, I will be sending you some of this basic information very soon.
Very, very good. I really appreciate that. Yeah, when you was in the service, you saw a lot of stuff that a normal person would not see. Is that correct?
You know something, I would honestly say that I would say that we all probably saw things that we should never have had to have witnessed. I was not in during wartime. Actually, it was the first Gulf War towards the end of my service career that occurred, but I saw a great deal of corruption and misappropriation of money, products, and stuff like that. And yet all of us had taken an oath, not just to our Constitution, but we took an oath also, and we were given directives by JAG officers in the 1980s that when there was an illegal order, we were required by law to stand up against it. And yet when you did so, your life was ruined, your career was ruined, and your future was ruined. So, like I said, the question becomes when the bad guys are wearing the good guy hats and you can't tell the difference. And I think that's the most deadly issue that is going on. So,
wow, that's amazing. Anyway, thank you so much, Dorothy, and I really appreciate you. And listen, you have a beautiful day, and God bless you. We'll talk soon. Amen. I got to bring on my good friend, Ms. Adrienne Tam. Are you there?
Yes, I am, Reverend Pickney. How are you?
Great. How you doing today?
I'm hanging in there. I was trying to reach you this week because I was,
busy. We had so much going on down here, going on around here. We have the Barron County Sheriff's Department out investigating the signatures, but they won't investigate murders. What kind of crap is that? Yeah, they, you know, and I had to get on them. I had to ride their back. I had to make sure they do the right thing. And they don't want to deal with me because they know that I'm not going to hold them up. So, you know, I've been really, really busy, but we've been successful this week. We got enough signatures to recall the mayor. They tried to knock it out. They did everything in their power, but we scared them half to death. That's one thing. We had people from Channel 2 News out of Chicago calling. We had people calling from all over the country just to let them know that we're here and we're serious about what we're doing. That's really what I think that's the attack that we have to use because that's what they don't want. And it shows you can be successful by doing it. So that's one of the things I like to tell you. I really was planning on coming up there last week, but we got so busy. We got a press conference this week that we're going to do on Wednesday. Tuesday I won't be here, so I'm trying to figure out when can I come up there, but we will talk soon. Unfortunately for us, your ex-husband is on the other side of the fence. He's not with us. He don't support us, which he normally would most likely used to, but now he's riding with the bad guys. So we're staying focused and doing what needs to be done, and, you know, we're going to win this battle. I don't believe in losing. I believe that we can win, and that's where I'm at. So, listen, I know you got something you want to tell us. Hey, let's have it.
Well, I just want to, you know, just try to do everything that I can to get, you know, move forward on it because, you know, my kids are still not safe with him. And with the lady who just got off the air, what is her name, Gloria, that was speaking on about the military illegal experimentations and everything that's going on. You know, I can, based on what she was saying, even what she was talking about Kathy O'Brien, I had sent you some information on her, I think, over a year ago. And I can, you know, actually agree with what she was saying, different things that they do, because, like I stated, I have seen my kids, you know, flip out, being out of control based on what my ex-husband was doing to them, but I didn't know what he was doing, you know, because he's a professional, he's ex-military, he has, you know, the knowledge on what, on exactly some of the things that a lot of the people that come on your show talk about, because I've seen, you know, even my kids show extreme fear of him, and I couldn't understand what was going on with that. So, you know, I'm just trying to, you know, stand strong while I'm dealing with people, even my own family members that's a part of working, you know, for the system, you know, kind of trying to shut me down when this is what happened to my kids and me. And a lot of them don't want to be exposed, you know, because I have family members who work in the system. You know, one of my cousins, he's either was or still is the vice president of the Children's Center, Charles Edmondson. And, you know, I have a lot of people that's in my family that work, you know, in the system. So I have to really be careful, you know, with, you know, allowing even them to know about what steps I'm taking because they were aware of what was going on and did nothing about it. And I've been getting a lot of backlash from my two brothers, you know, because they feel that, I shouldn't expose certain things or shouldn't deal with certain things because they're part of, you know, covering up their own illegal activities that I know about, so they don't want me to speak up about anything. But, again, this is what happened to me and my children, and I have to have my voice heard and my children's voice heard as well.
You know, the lady that just went off, Dorothy, you know, her brother has sold her into slavery, you know, and when you think about some of the stuff that you know, family do, it's so amazing. I'm just happy to see you taking a stand and willing to go the whole nine yards in reference to this. And I believe in fighting back. I don't believe in allowing people to get away with things. I don't believe in allowing people to think that, you know, you can push my friends around. You can push my neighbor around. You can push the children around. You know, my level of concentration is to make sure that they see my face on every event. And I know they hate to see my face, but it's okay. I'm not mad at them. And I think that's what may be one of the things that you may want to start doing, too. I think when we find someone who don't want to help, someone covering up, I think we should always do a phone blitz, have people calling from all over the country. And I think that gets attention. And even in this case, I've been thinking about it, how we can really help you. And one of the things, you know, uniting, I'm hoping that you will come down for our march in May, which is May 24th. And I know that Squires, and I know they're probably coming down. So I'm hoping that you might come also. And, you know, just start hanging out a little bit more. Because actually, you lived in this area. You know quite a bit about this area, don't you?
Right. I know some things, yes.
Something, but not a whole lot. But listen, tell us what you want us to know. Tell us what we can do to help. And let's see where we at. Talk to me today.
Well, like I said, I want to try to move forward, as soon as possible about what we were talking about. I'm not going to share, certain things on the air because I don't want anybody trying to, try to undercut or anything like that. Cause when you're actually getting ready to move forward with doing something, you have people out there that try to, manipulate and undercut certain things because you can't talk about what you're going to do on the air, actually the steps you're making, because you don't know who's listening. So it's just, I'm just really still concerned about my children. I'm still having health issues, and I'm trying to move forward with getting what I need so that I can get on my feet to move forward, as soon as possible, because as I've stated, I have some people that's helping. But some people, even with Cornell, I haven't heard from him in a while, and I was trying to contact him. So, I'm trying to do everything that I can to move forward to get myself, on my footing so that I can, move forward before something, else happens or before something happens where I can't even find my own children because my ex-husband has had my oldest child leave the state, and they're still not themselves. So I don't want to, allow too much time to come in between, to move forward on certain things. That's the only thing.
Interesting. Well, I truly, truly understand that because I know there's some things you've been fighting for a long time. And I think the key to fighting, you have to be organized. And, to me, that's the only way to win the battles because even, I know fighting down here, and, I normally go across the country fighting with people, joining hands, showing them how to win fights. And but I believe in attacking. That's just the difference between probably me and most people. Most people don't believe in attacking, but I believe in attacking. I believe in showing people that you don't intimidate me and you don't scare me. And that's what I do more or less. When I'm on the radio talking, I don't let them limit what I might want to say or what I might want to do because any sign of weakness, they would exploit it. So that's why you have to fight back. You have to show them that, shoot your best shot. Whatever you got, bring it on, I can handle it. So that's how
I feel
about
that. When I was in the court before they closed my case out, actually, as of, I believe it was last year or it may have been 2012, December or something like that, the court system, they do not like me, the judges and all of them, because they feel that I'm complicated and I won't back down. That's why they, attack me the way that they do. But I don't back down because I know the truth and I know what's right from wrong. And they feel that they haven't did anything to actually break me. They took my kids illegally, put my kids back with their father who the kids told was raping them and abusing them, and they still, kept seeing me coming towards them, even though they did a lot of damage to my kids psychologically. So, and by my ex-husband being a psychology major and a medical doctor, he's a part of the system. Even though he may have helped on some level, he has always been very unfair to our children, very abusive to our children and me, you know, manipulating, trying to get away with things. Because basically he's a child molester, and I've had complaints from other people who have stated how he's tried to, you know, do them as far as sexually and everything. And I want him dealt with. I want the people who aided him dealt with, that's a part in and out of the court system, even some people that were in the politicians that I contacted and found out that they backed away from because they were in connection with either Chief Judge Virgil Smith, who knew Donald, my ex-husband, Dr. Tyne. So, you know, I don't want to back down or anything, and I want them to see that I'm constantly coming for them. And they know that I'm not going to back down. That's why they respond to me the way that they do. But they know that I don't have, I guess, enough of support to move forward. So they're looking at that, and they're happy with that part. But my main goal is to try to help my kids and to expose these people and get some kind of justice with holding them accountable, because they need to be removed out of their positions, because you don't allow something like this to go on and ignored. And as far as, you know, even with my ex-husband having new babies, new children, the court system, no, they were supposed to remove those children from him, and they did not do that. So that has to be addressed. That has to be brought out, you know, to the media. Why have they allowed this man, who the children who have shared have been molested by him, and his nurses, patients, and coworkers, some of them have shared that he's sexually abusive. Why is this man continuing to be allowed to produce children when he, based on what I heard from my children a couple of years ago, he has is abusive to his new daughter, you know, not the new baby, you know, when I was told that his wife was the young daughter that he has. So, and I know it's the same pattern, and no one's doing their job. At that point, I didn't know that Benton Harbor system did not care about people, didn't care about people of color. I didn't know that. I was very naive to thinking that the system would do right and you know, and protect people, but they don't.
You're right on the money. But listen, you got about 60 seconds to say whatever you want, and I got to move on. But it's always a privilege and an honor to have you on, Ms. Times. And well, let's talk. You know, I like I said, I have been busy, but not this week, but the following week I'll be more relaxed, and we'll be able to talk a little bit more. But listen, you got 60 seconds to say whatever your heart desire, and I got to move on.
You know, the only thing that I could say is that I encourage everybody to keep exposing what's going on in the government and the system, you know, with the injustice of what's going on. And that's the only way that we're going to be able to get some type of, you know, justice with getting people educated and informing people with what's happening, whether they believe it or not, it's happening. And we all have to, you know, like you said, come together and fight. You can't just be pious. You got to fight back.
Absolutely. All right, Ms. Times, you take care of yourself, and believe me, have a beautiful weekend. Let's talk soon. My good friend Edward, you there?
Yes, hi, Reverend Pinckney. How are you?
Great. How about yourself?
Oh, I'm very good. I never know exactly where I want to focus when I talk, and then I listen to the show, and I want to elaborate on so many things that everyone has spoken of. One thing I want to say is that many years ago, there was a quote, and it goes like this: the individual is handicapped by a conspiracy so monstrous that people don't even believe it exists. And that was J. Edgar Hoover, who literally ran headshot over four presidents and controlled this country. It is way beyond what everybody realizes. There's the problem, the challenge is that the corruption is so high up, and there's so much corruption that it allows for corruption beneath it very easily. Someone talked about the fracking. Well, that releases methane gas. You can light your faucet on fire, and they've been blocking the true knowledge of all this in the news media, and they continue fracking, which is causing earthquakes. causing tremendous problems. If people go investigate fracking on YouTube, they'll find out that it's a lot worse than anyone imagines, and the president is right behind it because of corporate America. The United States government actually, the cities, states, and counties own huge financial portfolios topping $110 trillion, and they're invested in all these corporations. They own the majority of stock in every corporation in this country, and you wonder why the corruption persists, and you wonder what's going on. It's not hard to wonder. They really don't need us anymore. But Ralph was talking about skin cancer. Well, Debbie, a friend of my son's mother, had a relative who had melanoma skin cancer, and I recommended the calcium bentonite clay, and it completely got rid of it, as it does all skin disease, including the Borrelia virus, or the flesh-eating disease, otherwise known as leprosy, according to the World Health Organization. What I've been doing for years now is helping reverse all dysfunctional health. I figured out simply and easily that everything is pretty much the same. Even if doctors don't know what to call it, where it came from, or how to cure it, it doesn't really matter. Whether it's chemtrails that's causing it with the strontium, barium, and aluminum, and or 40-something other chemicals that Ken was talking about. And before I go on, I just want to say that I'm not sure what kind of cancer Lynn has, but I want Ralph to call me, because I want him to get rid of his skin cancer once and for all. And whatever kind of cancer Lynn has, we need to discuss it, and we need to change her situation without relying on the medical establishment, because they're committing suicide at a rate that's unprecedented. It is the highest rate of suicide amongst all the professions in the United States. And one of the brilliant chemists that I was introduced to by a journalist, Ed McCabe, years ago, who was reporting on all the biooxidative therapies, he exclaimed to me when I studied at the International Institute of Oxygen Therapies that within 15 years, and now this is going back many years already, the doctors will start rebelling against the medical institution because they can't cure their own family. Well, they're not allowed to cure anybody, and if they do, they get kicked out of the AMA, American Medical Association, otherwise known as the American Moron Association. On radio shows, I'm in Hawaii and in Chicago, it's the American Murder Association. It all depends on who's running the radio show. This is very simple, reversing all dysfunctional health. Try to follow what I'm saying, okay? Get out all of the positive ionic material in your body, including Morgellons disease. I had one of the TIs call me up and let me know that it's the calcium bentonite clay that pulled out all of the Morgellons disease out of their body. All those fibers finally came out when they used the calcium bentonite clay, yes. Get out all the positive ionic matter in your body. That's poisons, toxins, chemicals, unwanted bacteria, viruses, and radiation. And we're being bombarded with radiation from Fukushima. You eat fish that you love so much, and if it's coming from the Pacific, God help us, okay? The amount of radiation that seems to be leaking from Fukushima will be a worldwide disaster, and everyone needs to protect themselves against that radiation, but they also need to pull out all of the unwanted toxins in their body so their body can return to normal homeostasis. Second, after pulling out all of the unwanted materials out of your body, reoxygenate the body. Now, what I discovered from the same chemist is that people are living 20 years longer in all oxygen-rich areas in the United States rather than all the cities. This is a major disparity. You should see them dancing, smoking, and carousing in nightclubs at much older ages. And then I returned to a place like Los Angeles, and people could barely walk into the supermarkets at 6 o'clock in the morning. I watched them walk like turtles just to get into the supermarkets and at younger ages. It's very obvious to me now, after doing this for many years, helping people reverse all their dysfunctional health, and I have had different people call me from your show, and I've helped them to start reversing their dysfunctional health, and they're thanking me. Everyone is thanking me. What I know, I know. And what you don't know, you don't know. Okay? That was 401 BC, Socrates. What you don't know, you don't know. They are literally exterminating us, as Ken says. And they're using the GMO foods or the non-food items in all the stupid markets, all the corn syrup and all the other chemicals, natural flavorings, which isn't it's anything but natural. That is up to 1,000 chemicals, including MSG, they hide and mask under it. We need to get all these things out of our body, reoxygenate our body, according to the two-time Nobel Prize winner, Dr. Otto Warburg, who won two Nobel Prizes and a third in science, the only man in history ever had that happen, no less in medicine. And the third thing is, by the way, he proved the prime cause in prevention of cancer. 60% or more deprivation of oxygen to the cell starts the fermentation process. You can reverse all this. I want people to start taking their health under their own control. Learn. Understand. You must educate yourself in health as I have and in law as I have to protect myself. As a two-legged, you must know health and law to protect yourself and your loved ones. I know we're running out of time. The third thing is renutritionalize your body. We are having tremendous results with reversing all types of dysfunctional health. And I mean, so many different medications are being let go of because of a new product that came to the market with 100 superfoods and nutritional ingredients. And all people have to do is call me. I'll send them to the websites, and they can go and look at the information for themselves and begin to study and begin to understand. Even Agent Orange can be reversed. And by the way, they only told you about Agent Orange. They didn't tell you about Agent Red, Agent Green, and Agent Blue. Does anybody know about that? No. I've been educated about that as well, but the people don't know anything about it, okay?
Wow. Edward, we're out of time.
Okay,
and
I'll give my number.
I know, but we can finish it up. Maybe I'll get you on earlier next time. We had so many people on today that it was almost ridiculous, and I do apologize. But listen, I just want everybody to get themselves prepared for Occupy the PGA. It's coming May 24th. Gloria, I'm hoping that you will come down, and I want my TIs to come, and I know Ken's going to be here. And I got my folks coming from Detroit, Minnesota, and a few folks from Iowa. We're going come, and my good friend Ralph might fly in from New York, and we're just going to have a great time here, and we're going to give those PGA folks something that they will never forget, just like we did a couple of years ago. We're going to stay focused and do the things that need to be done, and like I said, we had a major victory today with the recall of the mayor. Right now, he's shaking in his boots. He's one of them. He supports corruption. He just so happened to be a black guy, but that doesn't mean that he's for the people. So we have to continue doing what we need to do. We need to stay focused, make sure we stand together, fight together, and do the things that need to be done for each other, because it's all about each other. You can't do it alone. You can't fight alone. You can't win alone. We have to fight for each other. And now it's open season on Black Boys. So we got to get out here and show them that we're not going to take this crap no more. And be prepared. Don't be shy. I'm telling you, take one for the team. It's all about the future, and that's what we have to continue in. Remember, be here. Be here. May 24th. Occupy the PGA. That's what it's all about. And those of you out there, you're never, ever going to get anything done unless you stand up and fight. show the people what we are capable of doing, show the people what we can do, and fight back. We have to fight for our children, the future of our children. Our lives is at stake. The generation before us went to sleep on us. Now we got to stand up and fight, show them that we are able to do things. I will be back next week, same time, same station, and hope to see you all there. Make sure you come in. Those who I didn't get in, please make sure you call me and let me know that you're going to be on. I know we had a full house today, and I do apologize to everybody who couldn't get on, who didn't come on, but I will make it up to you. That's a promise. So let's listen to a little Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes.
What is it?